Hey, welcome to Christ United Methodist Church. No matter who you are or where you're at, whether you're up early or out late, we pray this message is right on time. Thanks for tuning in.
I want to bring you to what I believe is a powerful post-Christmas word that oftentimes we do well to skip because it's difficult to deal with. But because I believe this word is rich and it's real and it's living and it's relevant for our lives, it meets us in a brand new way this morning. You might be one who has canvassed this word time and time again through tradition, but I'm praying that we'll receive it in a brand new way this morning. Contrary to what your bulletin says, and you have to forgive me because your pastor put four of these things together in 1 week and my wires got crossed, but we're going to be examining Matthew chapter 2 and not Luke chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, for the sake of clarity, I'll be reading from the 13th verse and going to 23. Hear these words. Now after they, meaning at this point the Magi had come to visit, we reserve that portion of our text for next week in Epiphany, but after they, the wise men, had come and they left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, and in that dreamlike state said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. For I tell you, Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And so then Joseph got up, and he took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. A side note, and it has nothing necessarily to do with the message, but sometimes a brand new thing that the Lord will do in and through you cannot happen until the old king dies. And I don't know what that means for you. I don't know how it is that you navigate it, but sometimes old kings have to pass away in order for the newborn king to do something new in and through you. Just tuck that in your pocket. I just felt the need to say it. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. And this was to fulfill, Scripture says, what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I shall call my son." I have called my son. That comes from Hosea, if you're wanting to reference it. So when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all of the children, man, in and around Bethlehem, who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. When then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, and it's this: a voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. And when Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." And then Joseph got up and he went to the land of Israel, but when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream once again, he went away to the district of Galilee, and there he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. And it's this: he will be called a Nazarene. A living word of God for a living people of God. And we say, thanks be to God. May God bless the reading and receiving of this word. I offer this to you as a subject: foreign territory. Foreign territory. You might feel like you're there, maybe not physically, but some places emotionally or mentally or spiritually. We've entered into a foreign place, an unfamiliar place, and you don't know how to navigate it. I'm hoping this word will speak powerfully to you this morning. Foreign territory. And I'm sure as the Magi traveled, the wise men traveled, they pondered that. They made mention of it as they made their way from wherever they were in that Persian place to visit to visit the Christ child, to visit this newborn king that had come under the guidance of the star that charted their course. I'm sure as they saddled up and they made their way, they asked themselves or made mention of it countless times in a different place, through ups and downs and highs and lows and arid spaces and cold spaces as they traveled. This feels so foreign. This feels so different. It feels strange. It's unfamiliar. This feels foreign. And the same could be said as Mary pondered early on when the angel had come and made the proclamation to her that she was receiving good news and that she was favored. She was favored, but didn't feel favored. In the fullness of time, I'm sure she pondered that too as she prayed and patted the growing bump in her belly. That something God was doing in me feels so foreign. This has never happened to me before, number one. I've never slept with anybody. I've not laid with a man. I'm a virgin. But at the same time, given the angel's proclamation, whatever it is that God's doing inside of me is unfamiliar. This feels so foreign. The Magi must have said it as they made their way. Mary probably pondered it. Joseph probably juggled it as he was trying to discern the direction he was going to head as a husband or a provider for a family when he received the news that Mary had told him and the mess that was made of his life. His world was turned upside down as a carpenter who planned and can forecast and measured. This didn't fit. This feels so foreign. And now the shepherds, they probably shoved the thought around from time to time as they made their way, given the news that they received from the angelic chorus on high. These were the lowest of lows, you learned last week. They weren't used to having some type of good news brought to them. They were the lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder. They were kept out of worship. Who would have ever thought that the good news would be proclaimed to them, that they would be the first visitors to see this king that has come from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, to show that nobody's beyond God's dignity? And so as they traveled and they shuffled their way, they probably shuffled the thought, this feels so what? Foreign. This feels unfamiliar. Not used to it. You know? It's that expression. Think about it. Turn the pages of Scripture. It's that very expression that any significant figure of faith probably muttered, by whom and through whom and in whom God did anything great. Think of any biblical figure of faith that you know, that you can draw to mind, be it Abram or Moses or David or anybody in Holy Writ. And chances are they were put in places of faith where they were asked to do or say something that to them, to all their faculties, felt what? Foreign, unfamiliar. But I'm learning as I chart my course that even though it feels foreign, doesn't mean that I'm not favored and doesn't mean that God's not doing something great in and through me. So says every figure of faith in whom and through whom God did anything great. This feels so unfamiliar. This feels foreign. And irrespective of age or stage, perhaps you have found yourselves in a space where you looked up to the sky, and whether you're a prayer or not, or whether you're a church-going person or not, or maybe you're not a person of deep faith, but you've pondered in the deep confines of your heart, God, whatever you're doing, wherever I am, this feels strange. I didn't expect it. It's not what I pictured. It's not what I planned. Whatever you're doing feels emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically, this feels unfamiliar. It feels like foreign territory. But you know what I'm finding? That oftentimes it's in that foreign space, in that foreign territory, that God ends up developing deeper people of faith. Those spaces where we ask, God, what are you doing? Where are you taking me? This all seems so strange. But look, foreign territory seems to be a familiar trend. It's a familiar trend in Holy Writ as we turn the pages of Scripture that God leads people of faith into foreign territory where they can't lean on their own faculties. That their surroundings are unfamiliar. All they have is their vertical relationship and trust in God to say,
With the next step, I don't know what's going to happen, but I trust you're going to speak. With the next step, I don't know how it's going to transpire, but I know that you got me. I trust your goodness and your mercy, that you wouldn't bring me this far to leave me, that in fact you have something to show me. It seems, brothers and sisters, that it's a familiar trend in Scripture for God to lead people into foreign territory. But foreign territory is a familiar trend for people who go deep in faith. That might be news that is good to you. Maybe that's news that you don't want to miss, but at the same time is news that you really don't want to hear. Foreign territory seems to be a familiar trend for people who are brought deeper in faith. And with that, brothers and sisters, don't dare sit in the confines of whatever space that you're in and pray for deeper faith, for God to deepen your faith, especially on the cusp of a new year, because it seems the familiar trend is that if you want deeper faith, God's going to lead you into some foreign territory. And I'm not talking about a physical place, but I'm thinking that God might lead you or ask you to do or say something that's foreign to you in your scope of affiliation, so that it's foreign to what you're comfortable with doing. You know, I've spoken to many people where God did something terrific, something powerful in their lives, and they said, well, you know, Pastor, I would never be led to say the things that I said, but I just felt in the moment that I had to, and when I did, the encounter that I had with that person, the landscape changed. Or I would never be the person to behave the way that I did, but I took that step in faith, and you'll never believe what happened. Foreign territory. It's a familiar trend for deeper faith. It's news that we don't want to miss, but also news we may not want to hear. See, sometimes God will walk with us through challenging situations. We'll navigate things with us. We'll lead us in less than favorable conditions. And not as a means of disrupting us. Oftentimes when God does something powerful in our lives to deepen our faith, we see it as a disruption. But oftentimes God will work in our lives not for the purpose of disrupting us, but to develop us. Develop us into a people who have deeper faith so that coming out of whatever we come out of, however foreign it felt, we say, you know what, I know more about myself and more about my relationship with you, God, than I ever did before because I had to lean on you. Joseph and Mary had to go to Egypt in foreign territory, and the cue was, be there until I say so. Not for a period of time, not for 14 days, not for a month, not until you have someone come and give you a note to say it's okay to leave, but I'm going to need you to trust me and open up lines of communication so that you'll obey when the time comes. Foreign territory is a familiar trend. And Mary and Joseph go to Egypt. And look at this, church. Can't you see all that has happened to this point? Mary becomes pregnant out of wedlock. Joseph doesn't know if he's going to stay or go. He makes a decision to keep her as his wife, and therefore Jesus as his own adopted son. And not only that, but there's a census. They can't stay in Nazareth, and they have to travel to Bethlehem, and Bethlehem doesn't have a place for him, and Mary gives birth to the king, this newborn baby, in open air because there is no place for them to lay their heads. And if that wasn't enough, they have this weird visit from these shepherds, these scruffy shepherds that glorify God because of what they've seen and the news that they had shared. And now after all this has happened, you think that they would be able to go to the comforts of home. But no, they weren't close to their home. They were going further and further away. And you might be at a place where it feels foreign to you in faith to say, Lord, this doesn't feel like I'm getting closer to you. It feels like I'm going further away. It doesn't feel like I'm taking a step forward. It feels like I'm going backwards. And here Mary and Joseph go with the baby to Egypt. Back to the place of their ancestry. Back again. But just what they thought was problematic, God was weaving as part of a plan, of a greater plan, a fulfillment of a plan. Because you know what happened in Egypt, didn't you? And any good Jew would have hearkened back in their mind to say, this was the place where we were imprisoned, and this was the place that we were occupied by a superpower called the Egyptians, and this was the place that God freed us, took us from a place of imprisonment to promise, and did it through a person named Moses, and later Joshua, Yoshua. And now get this, in the fullness of time, Mary and Joseph bring Jesus back to that place, not Yoshua, but Yeshua, back to the place where their people were freed by a deliverer, freed from an oppression by the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. And now what seems like foreign territory becomes a familiar trend because they bring Jesus back to the very place where God did it before, and Matthew goes to show us God's going to do it again. And time again, we see in the scriptures what happened. All this took place. All this happened. All this occurred to fulfill what had been spoken. All this happened as a means of fulfillment. All this happened as a means of fulfilling what the prophet had said years ago. Did you know when we read the feature of scripture passage, that was said three times? It's actually this right here. All of this took place to fulfill. What is all of this? All of the pain, all the confusion, all the disappointment, all the despair, and whatever it is that you're carrying, all of this. Sometimes God weaves together, not necessarily cause, but weaves it together to fulfill something. And you might feel that you're in foreign territory. The family might not have gone. The family time might not have gone as you had anticipated over the holiday, or your position in life, or your space vocationally, or your space relationally within the household may not be what you pictured. It might feel quite foreign. But could it be that God is good enough and sovereign enough in God's nature to take all of this to fulfill something greater that you can't see? It happened. And it happens. Four times in two chapters, that expression takes place. It's powerful, brothers and sisters, as I transition, because it puts into perspective that the God that we worship doesn't deal in randomness. When you look at that, all of this took place to fulfill. That it seems that we live under the auspices of a God that doesn't deal in happenstance, that doesn't deal in randomness. That the things we navigate aren't for naught, even though they might feel like it, and can take even what seems to be a disruption or your disappointment or your devastation and work all of this to fulfill. You know, it wasn't in God's will. It wasn't in God's way to issue the decree that the king issued. It was Herod's fear that caused him to issue the decree and say, this new king's been born and he's a baby. Kill all the firstborns under 2 years old. God didn't issue that decree. God didn't want that decree, but it seems from one evil king to the other evil king in Egypt, God took all of this. Didn't cause all of it, but took all of it. Redemptively used it to fulfill a greater plan, a greater purpose. The king in Egypt issued a decree that the Hebrews should die. And now Herod, in the fullness of time, issues a decree in the presence of Jesus that all the firstborn should die. And Mary and Joseph take Jesus back to Egypt where it all started as a means of God saying, what you celebrated then, I'm doing in a brand new way now. And you can't see it. You can't understand it. But I could take all of this to fulfill a greater purpose. I can work it all together for good. For the good of those who love God and are called according to a purpose. All this took place to fulfill. Church, foreign territory is often fertile ground for a greater fulfillment. Hear that as I close. Foreign territory is often fertile ground for a greater fulfillment. You might not see it, and you might not be able to make sense of it. But this word challenges us to trust. It might be news that you don't want to miss, but it's news that you might not want to hear. Because here's the thing. Can you trust what you do not know with a fulfillment that you cannot see? And the way that we can is because of a love that we cannot deny, because of Jesus. Can you trust the space that you do not know, that you're not familiar with the fulfillment that you cannot see come to pass yet? The reason that we can do that, the reason we can be suspended between both of those, is because of a love that we can't deny, and we see it in the face of Emmanuel. I'm going to tell this story and I'm going to sit down. Purportedly true story is told of a medical missionary that leaves the States and he sets up shop in the Congo. And there he yokes himself to the lives of these tribal people in the Congo. And this doctor, as he's used to, is very stoic, very professional, doesn't exude a lot of emotions, but he's there to do a job. He's there to attend to their medical needs and to administer some vaccines and to be with those indigenous people. But also in part and parcel with his medical advancements, medical care that he's providing, he constructs a church. And he also is a pastor of that church. And Day after day, he attends to the medical needs of the tribe in the Congo. And day after day, he opens the door for them to come to worship, but it never happens. And he always wonders why the tribal people don't trust him enough to come in to worship the Lord. They trust him enough with their medical needs, but they don't trust to come into worship. And so, stoically, he tends to the medical needs, doesn't exude a lot of emotion. But there's a tragic space in this story in the sense that his son, who's with him, contracts one of the very illnesses he's working on there in the Congo. And one day he was out in the field and he saw his son running in the field, and all of a sudden he collapsed. And he looked and he saw his son get up, and he ran a little bit further and he collapsed again. And the son got up and he stumbled and he collapsed and he didn't get up. And so the father ran to meet his son, but by the time he got there, his son had already expired. He had passed away over the very thing that he had contracted down there that the doctor was fighting against. But it was too late. He couldn't save his son. Did CPR and all of that, and his son was gone. And so he brought his son back to the tent, and he constructed a wooden coffin. And he put his son in this wooden coffin, and one of the tribal people saw him walking across the field in this with his wooden box, just emotional as can be, and he laid the box down at the edge of the wood line. The doctor collapsed, and he fell on his knees, and the tribal person came over, and he stood beside him in awe because he saw this doctor, this physician, weeping. He had buckled over, and he was crying profusely, and all the while, this tribal person's kind of looking at him like this, walking around, getting every angle of his face. And all of a sudden, the tribal person leaves, and he goes back to the tribe, and the entire tribe comes. And the tribal leader who saw all of this brought them all to the edge of this man, brought them all in the presence of this man who is now hunkered over the coffin of his son. And he says in native language that was translated, he said, "Look, behold, the physician, the great physician, weeps too. Look, the great physician is one of us, for he cries like we do." And all of a sudden, their relationship didn't feel so distant. It didn't feel so foreign anymore. Because they beheld in the face of this doctor a relation, a bond. We cry and we despair, and yet he does too. Church, that's the gift of the gospel. For all those who feel like they might be in a foreign place, it's a familiar trend, because in the fullness of time, God's self in the flesh entered into foreign territory to show us and to confirm for us that there's no place that you can go, and there's nothing that you can experience, and there's no depth that you can descend that will keep me from God's love. And so, friends, we can trust God's ways because we can test God's love in the fullness of Christ Jesus. So leave this place. Understand that you might be in foreign territory, but it's not a place that God can't go. In fact, it's a familiar trend, foreign territory, to deepen faith. God may not have caused it, but certainly God could take all of these things to fulfill a greater purpose. And just because it feels foreign doesn't mean there isn't a fulfillment down the pike if you can just trust ways that seem confusing, because you can test God's love that isn't. And we see it in Emmanuel. Leave this place, perhaps entering into foreign territory, to say or to do something that might be alien to you, but that someone desperately needs to understand. May it be so with this body of Christ. And all of us here said, amen.
On behalf of all of us here at Christ Church, I want to thank you for hanging out and tuning in. Continue to check us out online, but better yet, we'd love to have you worship with us on Sunday mornings, starting at 8:30 a.m. in the chapel, or 11 o'clock in our main sanctuary. Until then, may God bless you so that you can bless others.